The Outpost Radio on Demand. Here's Art Young from the Outpost Magazine.
If you're like me, you're counting the hours when you get to get out in the field and hunt doves. Man, it's getting closer. Most of the fun of bird hunting, however, is whether it's dove, quail, pheasant, ducks, geese, comes from hitting a few of them once in a while. And today's guest is an expert on teaching you how to do just that. Leon Measures has been teaching a program he developed called Shoot Where You Look for decades, and he has taught literally thousands of people to shoot better. Welcome to the Outpost, Leon.
Thank you, Art, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, I love this program, and I've heard about it for years, and I was just lucky to reach out to you on, I think, LinkedIn or something, and you were kind enough to join us. Why did you start this program in the first place?
Out of necessity. We lived in a Gulf pipeline camp about 10 miles east of Midland, Texas. And there were some 15 houses in the camp, which meant a whole lot of kids of a whole lot of different temperaments. And somebody gave me a BB gun that had a sight missing. I took it to the old gentleman that normally repaired our toys for us. He took the sight that was on it off, handed it back to me and said, "You don't need sights on a BB gun." Well, I assure you, at that point in my lifetime, my options were rather slim. So I learned to shoot it by watching the BB. And it took me about 3 weeks to be the best shot in that camp. But all the time I shot that sightless BB gun, I failed to put in there that I was either 6 or 7 years old, okay? And that would have been in 1940, which makes it figure easier.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't anybody in that oil camp that could shoot with me, but I was a little embarrassed by that BB gun and ashamed of it because the other boys had two sights and I didn't have any. Until the day I picked up my first shotgun and found out how blessed I had been. Because, folks, if you can hit a crossing tennis ball 20 feet in the air, 20 feet away, from any angle that anybody can dream up with a single BB, you're awesome in the bird field with a decent shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And when did you start teaching? You obviously became a great shot. Were you a teacher, or how did you get in the teaching part of this?
Yeah, by the time I was 12, 13 years old, I had a reputation of being one of the best bird shots in the country. And somebody had told a gentleman, people would ask me, "How do you shoot so well?" And I'd say, "Well, it's easy if you just shoot where you look." And I say an old gentleman, he probably younger then than I am now, called me and said, "Do you think you can help me shoot?" And I said, "Well, sir, I don't know, but I'd sure be willing to try." He said, "Well, what do you charge me?" Well, good grief, I never thought about charging anybody anything, you know? And so I said, "Well, I tell you what, if I don't help you, you won't owe me a dime." He said, "Okay." Now, he had lost an eye to a malignant growth, his right eye. He was right-handed. And he shot right-handed, and all he had left was his left eye. And I said, "I don't know how this is going to work." So I started him out shooting a BB gun at a cardboard box that had a refrigerator in it. He was shooting 2 or 3 feet from where he thought he was. But slowly but surely, those two places came together, and his goal was to be able to go on an annual pheasant hunt in Montana and not let the other guys know that he had lost an eye. And it took about 3 weeks for him to get to where he could hit a quarter tossed into the air with that BB gun, about 4 out of 10 times. And he stuck the money in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I was happy, and he was too. And about 3 months later, I guess, I met him in a corridor in a downtown building, and I asked how his hunt had gone, and he stuck $200 in my shirt pocket. And I said, oh, no, sir, you paid me. You don't owe me anything. He said, let me tell you. When we get up there, we put some money in the pot, and the guy that shoots the most pheasant, or the first pheasant, gets part of it, and the guy that shoots the most gets the rest. And he said, I won the whole thing, and that's your half.
That's great. What a great story. What a great, well, that kind of, you know, that kind of leads us into the, anybody who's hunted any period of time or who's read the literature on theories behind, you know, learning how to shoot a rifle or a shotgun, there's all this confusing information about dominant eye theories. And it sounds like your first student, you could kind of throw that dominant eye theory out the window with him. But this does not involve the shoot where you look program. Doesn't involve having to take into consideration any of those kinds of theories, does it?
Well, let me explain this. I came with a funny made right arm. I can't extend my right hand out in front of me and turn it palm up. So in order to control that BB gun, I had to shoot it off my right shoulder. And I'd been shooting BBs out of the air with a sightless BB gun for 20 years when I found out my left eye is dominant, and I can't do that.
Because
I shoot with both eyes open. And guess what I changed? Nothing.
Now, is that what you advise your students to shoot with both eyes open?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to be in the duck blind or in the bird field. You see, our eyes triangulate just like a surveyor. That's the reason that you can tell how far away an object is, because your mind and eyes triangulate. You close one eye or obscure the vision in one eye, and you lose half of your triangle. And you can't tell how far away something is. So in the bird field, you definitely need to be able to shoot with both eyes open, unless it's a problem, you see. If you're focused on the target and not trying to look at the gun, it does not matter which eye is dominant. It's when you try to sight down that shotgun barrel and look at the target at the same time, you can't do it. And if we take about 3 minutes, I'll give you a drill to do if you'll go along with me.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it. Let's pretend like I've got a BB gun.
Do you shoot right-handed? This ain't anything to
do with a BB gun. I do shoot right-handed.
Okay, I want you to look across the room from you, wherever you may be. Now, you guys, if you're listening to this and driving, don't try this till you get home.
Stop your car before you do this.
Whatever, but the guys in the white coats may come get you too.
That's
but
right.
You look across the room at something that's extremely small that you can clearly see. What would it be?
I'm sitting in an office. I'm seeing a computer mouse way across the room.
Too big.
Okay, something smaller.
Do you see a light switch?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, is the toggle up or down? Can you tell?
I can, yes. It's a down.
I want you to take your left hand, stick it out in front of you, point your index finger at that object across the room, and you're not sighting down your hand. You're just saying, hey, look at that light switch toggle, right?
Uh-huh.
You focus on the toggle and tell me if your hand is out of focus.
Yes.
Has to be, unless you're an eagle. I bet you don't even have feathers.
Yeah, no, it's out of focus.
All right, now turn your index finger up so you can see the fingernail.
All right.
I want you to focus on your fingernail and tell me if the cuticle's clean, is it?
It is.
Now, when you look at the end of your finger, what happens to everything beyond it?
Blurred out, actually out of focus.
Guess what happens if you ever see the front lead on a shotgun?
Uh-huh. Everything goes out of focus.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to hit what you can't see.
Right. Yeah, I think we've been taught, maybe, I don't know why that is, you probably know, but I think we've been taught to look at that bead at the end of any gun and try to put the target on top of it or near it, And as a result, we spend a lot of time looking at the end of the shotgun.
And while you're looking at the end of that shotgun, that moving target is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You get all ready to shoot, you send that load of shot where the target used to be.
Well, Leon, walk us through. I know this is a multi-week program, so we can't cover everything. But in terms of just giving people a little taste of your program, because I think they're going to want to contact you later and set up some time to. I enjoyed watching the DVD over the weekend and learned a lot. I mean, I've been hunting, I guess 40 years, and I picked up some things that I was doing wrong, but kind of walk us through this program, what you do in the first week and the second week and so forth.
Well, now, these grills can be done in front of a mirror with an empty, safe shotgun up to a point, okay? You get in front of a mirror with an empty, safe shotgun, look at your nose in the mirror, it becomes the target. You mount the gun, and you have to jiggle it around and reposition it and finally get it pointing at the nose in the mirror. What I want you to do at that point is constantly and continually look at your nose. Do not look at the gun. Dismount the gun. Remount it. Push it out. Pull it back to your cheek and bend your body in that order. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll learn real quickly that you have to get your body in position to receive the gun in order so that you don't have to move your nose. For you see, if you take a shotgun and put a piece of paper on a pattern board or a barbed wire fence, and you just back off 20 feet, not yards, shoot a hole in that piece of paper, you'll see it, about the size of $0.50. You remount the gun, and if you have to move your head down to touch the top of the comb or the stock, that gun's going to shoot high the second time because you let the back end of it down. If you mount it again and put more pressure on your cheek than you had a while ago, it'll shoot low. More pressure in, it shoots to the right. So you learn to walk up to the mirror, set your feet, look at your nose, push the gun out, pull it back, and have it point at your nose. That's week one. That's it. And the folks that know tell us it takes 3,000 repetitions in a relatively short period of time for something to become habit or instinct, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the next step is the biggest problem that most shotgunners have, and that is when you touch the trigger, the gun stops like it hit a stump. Because you taught it to do that, you see?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first gun you ever shot?
Single shot 22, old one.
No, long time before that.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I had a BB gun.
Oh, really? Do you remember the occasion when you got it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was my father's, and I got it as a... He just gave it to me as a gift.
And how old were you?
Five, maybe.
Okay. And some well-meaning individual said, see if this is familiar, Art, now that you have this new air rifle,
mm-hmm.
Was that what it said on the box?
I bet it did, yeah.
Yeah, I know it did, because Daisy found out years ago that Dad would buy an air rifle when he wouldn't buy a BB gun because it was a kid's toy, you understand?
That makes sense.
So in the box, it said air rifle. And this individual said, now, Art, I want you to put this gun back here in this pocket on your shoulder, on your right side. You already told me that. And
mm-hmm.
I want you to lay your head down real good and tight and close that left eye. And
mm-hmm.
then I want you to line that front side up in the V of this back sight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you got that done, you put the target right here, and now that you have this so-called perfect sight picture, what do you do next?
Pull the trigger.
No. They told you 100 times what to do before you pulled the trigger.
Oh, they did. What'd they tell me?
For the sake of time, I'll ask you, did they tell you to wiggle the gun while you pulled the trigger?
Boy, I don't think so.
What do you think?
It said keep it steady. Keep it steady.
Now, those guys that know tell us if we do anything 3,000 times in a relative short period of time, it becomes habit.
Uh-huh.
When you first started to shoot that BB gun, that air rifle, somebody told you to hold it still while you pulled the trigger. Before mm-hmm. very long, you were telling yourself, and before you knew it, that instinctive mind was telling you to hold it still. So now you get in the duck blind and you got a big mallard drake crossing out there at 35 yards, and you swing out there on him, touch the trigger, and he laughs at you while he flies away.
Quacking as he goes.
The gun stopped, and you sent the load right where the duck used to be.
Uh-huh.
Because you taught that instinctive mind to do that. And the only way you can correct it is in front of the mirror with an empty safe shotgun. You just swing across your nose, touch the trigger, and keep swinging.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've gone through the setting up and first week or so, and you're if you can get past, and I'm sure you can, that second phase of swinging through. Then what happens in the course?
Well, then you either need you need to go to the shotgun range and see if it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, because we're not. Let me hasten to say, we're not training people to be fantastic BB gun shooters. We're training them to be shotgun shooters.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the point where you have mastered the two basics, being consistent gun mount, and the gun doesn't so much as hesitate when you touch the trigger, you've mastered the basics. Now you need to go practice, okay?
Mm-hmm. So you're in the phase of now you're at your shotgun range or at the sporting clays range. What's the thing that most people do in terms of sighting in a target? Do they? Let's assume that they've gotten past the stopping this, you know, swinging through it. Do you line up the target and move through it, or how do you get used to following through that target?
Time out, ceasefire. See, that when you mount a shotgun, if you're fortunate to have two hands, you put two hands on the gun, the next thing that touches is your cheek and then your body, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're looking over the gun, focused on the target. So lining the target up is no big deal because where you look, the gun points, and where the gun points, you look.
All right.
If the target moves and the gun eyes and the gun and the target are doing the same thing and the gun does not so much as hesitate when you touch the trigger, guess what the so-called lead is.
So the lead is your eye. You're just following it and you're continuing to swing through it.
You don't swing through it. What I'm trying to do is get rid of this rhetoric. I'll get to one other point here in just a second. But here's the deal. If the eyes and the gun and the target are doing exactly the same thing, when you touch the trigger, the gun that keeps moving, you got it?
Mm-hmm.
The lead becomes none.
Mm-hmm. You're right on it, I guess.
You got a 2.5-foot margin of error out there with a decent shotgun. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do is simple.
Yeah, no, you absolutely had the gift of making it simple to understand as well, and you do it such a great job on your DVD. I'm wondering, just a sidebar here, is it easier to teach kids or adults this method?
Absolutely. unless the adult will wear a shock collar. You wear a shock collar and I straighten you up pretty quick.
So I take it kids are easier to teach.
Yeah, most adults, especially the men, have formed habits over the years that they didn't even know were detrimental. So the first thing I have to do is unteach them and then start over. But I'll give you a real quick example. Last Saturday, I had two women in a seminar, Conroe, Texas. One of them was a 16-year-old young lady who had shot a shotgun 3 times. They went through this 4-hour seminar, and at the end of the seminar, they were breaking pieces of clay target as big as your thumbnail without thinking about it. Now, the two men that were in the group weren't having that kind of result, you see, because doing it the old way kept slipping in on them, and I'd have to remind them, don't look at the gun, look at the target, okay?
So women are easier to teach this method than men, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. We learned a lot. We've taught literally 100,000 kids plus. But we learned a long time ago that kids don't carry check, credit card, or cash.
Yeah, you got to get mom or dad for that, don't you?
Yeah, and that bankrolls our teaching the kids, okay?
Well, how old do you think, speaking of getting kids involved in something as fun as hunting or sporting clays or whatever, is there an age that's an optimal time to start a kid hunting or shooting anyway, learning how to shoot, or is it all over the road?
Well, I had a great-granddaughter in here 2 weeks ago that's 4 years old, and the second time she touched a little BB gun, she was shooting sweet gum balls off the sidewalk.
See? Wow.
But a lot of folks don't have that, the ability to teach them for one thing, nor the opportunity. But if we don't get these kids involved and liking the shooting sports, by the time they're 7, 8, 10 years old, we lost them forever. There are too many distractions out there, iPads and soccer and all the other things that come into their extracurricular activities. We must get the youngsters to like the shooting industry. And they're not getting that in school or anywhere they go. So we do our very best to make it affordable and enjoyable.
Well, Leon Measures, you're a great guy. I've, unfortunately, we've got some limited time this time, but would you mind coming back and digging a little deeper into in a future show?
Anytime.
Well, tell me how an individual or a group. I think it'd be fun for a business group. Frankly, this would be a fun thing for a whole office to go do. But how do they get in touch with you and get more information on Shoot Where You Look?
Go to any search engine and type in the words Shoot Where You Look, and it will take you to my website, which is simply shootwhereyoulook.com. Phone number is 1-800-201-5535. Let me get one thing that's terribly important, and I'll be...
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
I was fortunate to ride with a fella in a turboprop Aero Commander from Livingston, Texas to Rio Grande City. And that airplane sure beat heck out of driving 8.5 hours to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But we got there, and that runway looked like a postage stamp. He made about 3 passes around. He got lined up north to south and said, "Tell me when that airspeed indicator says 140. I thought he caught the barbed wire fence on the front end, close end. And he got on the brakes, reversed the props, and he had about 50 feet of runway left. And I said, "Man, you didn't waste any of that one, did you? And he made a statement I've been looking for 25 years when he said, what's behind you doesn't count. Folks, that's the way we need to be with a gun, a bow, or a tree stand. The next time you touch one, the safety meter is at zero, and what's behind you doesn't count. Okay?
Good advice. Good advice. Leon, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll look forward to the next visit.
Thank you, sir.
The Outpost Radio On Demand, from the on-demand page of theoutpostlife.com.